Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from
your company name here.
Your studios in Cape Coral, Florida. It's the What's in Your Head podcast with your hosts, Gordon and Don Abernathy.
What's up? What's up? What's up, OG5? It's Tuesday. We're live, but barely. It is the first live podcast from the Your Company Name Here studios in what turned out to be ground two for Hurricane Ian. I don't want to say ground claim zero or one because clearly that was Sanibel and Fort Myers Beach, but coming in close to or possibly ground three for the hurricane, Cape Coral, Florida. And as you can see, the podcast studio is still in disarray. Took my green screen down. Didn't have power for 10 days. Had to open the window up. One of the cats have been pissing in here, so the whole podcast studio smells the lovely smell of female cat urine, which I have to say is easier to get out than male cat urine. How would I know? Because I had a Bengal cat for many, many years, and when the lovely Loki left us, I thought my days of purchasing Jackson Galaxy's urine be gone was in the past, but 10 days in dirty litter boxes, and well, behold, the podcast studio now smells like a semi-clean litter box. There's still a fragrance in the air, but it's not as bad as it was 3 days ago.
See, and it smells like a meth den.
Yep. When the flamingo's pointing left, the yard's full of cars.
There you go. Well,
I'm going to open this up. I'm going to allow you to ask me questions and kind of steer the show because I don't know what people who didn't live through a hurricane want to learn about. So I'm going to turn the reins over to you. I'm going to let you interview me. You can ask the questions and I will reply with the answers, and we'll maybe get some comments from the peanut gallery and all that good stuff and go from there.
We'll start off with an easy one.
Okay.
Going into the hurricane, what was your approach? Was it, it's an old hat. We've done this before. This is easy. It could be inconvenient, not too bad. Or did you buckle down and go Chicken Little?
Well, that in and of itself is kind of a tricky question because you have to take history into account.
I am taking history into account because I noticed there was one thing you did not do this time.
This would be my fifth hurricane in a short 18 years, but I'm only going to count three because only three affected us to the point which we went a minimum of 2 weeks with no power, which would have been Hurricane Charlie. 10 days here for Hurricane Ian and 16 days for Hurricane Irma.
Now, arguably, Ian was a lot more devastating hurricane.
Well, NASA,
across a larger swath.
NASA posted a photo 4 or 5 days ago, and just so happened one of their satellites was pert near, as Gordon would say, right over top Hurricane Ian 24 hours or 28 hours before it landed on Sanibel. And at that time, the entire eye was 32 miles wide. So 32 miles wide, traveling at 9 miles per hour equals you're going to get your fucking ass kicked. And that's exactly what happened. But to rewind a little bit to answer your question, and the reason I preface this with the amount of hurricanes I and everybody else in this area who has lived here since 2003. Keep in mind, prior to 2003, I don't think a hurricane has hit this area since like 1945. I mean, there's been a few on, obviously, Hugo and Andrew hit on the East Coast. But on the West Coast, it had been a long-ass time prior to Hurricane Charlie.
A direct blow, so to speak.
As a matter of fact, when we lived in Long Beach, California, and Dad and Melody were looking at plots of land down here, the real estate agent said, don't worry, we haven't had a hurricane in this area since the 60s. They always go up and hit above Tampa.
Well, that's one sales pitch that went out the window after Charlie.
6 months later, we're down here. Got Dad moved in, brand new $5,000 privacy fence, and it's long gone because Hurricane Charlie came. And so, you guys think that the media is crazy during political season. You ain't seen shit until you lived in a hurricane area with the Weather Channel during hurricane season, because this is their election night.
Wet dream. I mean, it's like everything they're waiting for.
And so you had multiple factors. One, you have a lot of Californians, New Yorkers, Illinoisans, and anybody else who lived in a closed state during the pandemic who decided they want a little more freedom in their life. They all skirted down here post-haste. And so they're going to, you know, you need to get your hurricane update. And so most people, you'll get a local news, but you want that 24-hour update, right? Because, you know, the local news you got to catch between, you know, 5 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night, or 6 in the morning, or 11 o'clock at night. If outside mm-hmm. those areas, you're not getting a weather update with the occasional interruption during a commercial break. And so people tune into the Weather Channel. Now, what do you need to know about the Weather Channel? All you have to know is they finally got rid of the fucking name because somebody over there wised up. But last hurricane season...
And it called TWC now?
No, last hurricane season, they had what they called the Weather Underground.
Well, the Weather Underground is actually more than that. It was a if I remember correctly,
a domestic terrorist group.
Part of it, it's a lot of local group? Weather stations throughout people's properties and whatnot.
Well, prior to that, in the 60s and 70s, it was a local terrorist group. But anywho, so when your people are going to the Weather Channel to get their update, Weather Channel puts real intense stinger music behind that update. Just give me this update.
Still had some.
I mean, if the Halloween theme song wasn't copywritten, they would play that. But they're playing clearable, scary music in the background. A lot of ding, 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 boom, boom, a lot of low bass and a lot of stingers and giving a news update. Blah 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 blah. And so, as the storm's getting as the weeks roll by, it's going to go up and around and going to go to Tampa and it's going to clear us. And so, I really wasn't too concerned. And then, as usually happens, about 3 to 4, actually, it was that Friday, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday before the storm, I started looking at which way the wind was blowing, no pun intended, and I started gearing up a little bit. I went out on lunch and got me a couple of cases of water, a couple of gallons of drinking water.
Point, I think you had called me and said, holy crap. The scaredy cats, pretty much, or the people from up north, the new people have drained the store of a lot of the
stores. I went to Winn-Dixie on lunch. I just got me 2 pallets of water and a couple of 80-cent gallon jugs, and that was it. And I'm seeing people rolling out with like 6, like entire shopping carts full of water. And this was when the hurricane was still going in Tampa. Once again, you got all the new people down here with the getting shit scared out of them. And of course, as things adjust, let's talk about storms. Storm surge is going to kill you. Now, the Weather Channel, they are happy to show off their technology, and they basically have, and they've had this for a few years, they'll stand on their little disc of virtual reality, and then they'll have a green screen run behind them, and they start showing the water coming up, and death and decay, everything's going to kill you. Now, I understand that they're trying to get a point across, but they're definitely over dramatizing this. Now you say, well, Don, clearly they were right. Look what the fuck happened. You got like roughly 105 people throughout the state dead right now due to storm surge. Yes, correct. They were right. However, the reason those people died is because for the last 20 years, every time a storm came, it was, you're going to die. Storm surge is going to kill you. And so after 20 years of being evacuating, spending thousands upon thousands of dollars, and a storm surge never produced, people kind of get a little jaded.
Yeah, it's kind of like that story we learned in elementary school
about crying
the boy
wolf.
Who cried wolf, yes.
And so they over-dramatize it so many times. I mean, that's why during Hurricane...
It's the channel who cried death.
During Irma, Melody and Dad were here. The Pine Island Fire Department moved all their vehicles over to fucking JetBlue South because it was a storm surge game, and thank God it never produced. There's a few areas like in Estero, St. Carlos Park, just low-lying areas who got flood from the rain. It wasn't storm surge. It was just bad drainage, you know, high water, rain, and some creeks flooded. And I had people during Irma, one from my World War II reenacted friends, he was a renter, didn't have renter's insurance. All his German uniforms got fucked up, and his house flooded. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. So I'm not downplaying it. But what I'm saying is the reason so many people did not evacuate is we've been hearing for so many years about the great giant who's going to come shit on us, and it never produced.
Until.
And so, and then I go to Ace Hardware, and I pick up a couple of green propane tanks. Now, being the good Floridian that I am, I could easily grab 6, 8, 12. I grab 2 to leave some for somebody else. Same way I feel about the water nesting it. And so that was Wednesday. And then Thursday, things started looking a little more sketchy, if you will.
Actually, if I remember right,
I got my days might be off.
Your days are a little off. So it actually, I think Tuesday's when you went out, because Wednesday, and the reason I know this.
Yes. So the storm hit Wednesday, right?
Correct.
So it was Friday I bought the
Wednesday
water. Yeah, Friday.
My day to relax before I drove back Thursday.
Yes.
From Montana. And my relaxation was sitting here watching my family get pounded via the weather station.
So Friday I started buying the water. Monday I went to work. Things started getting a little more sketchy. My boss and his family, they're new to Florida. They've been here for a year and a half. They moved down here from California. My boss, being a smart man and spending his entire life preparing for earthquakes and having a contingency plan, he had already been on the Starlink waiting list for the last year and a half. As soon as he moved down here, he got on Starlink and he bought a big-ass Generac generator. Now, it's not the permanent home generator, but it is a big enough portable generator that has an eye hook and you need an engine hoist to put it in the back of your fucking truck. It's a monster.
Yeah, he's probably got a cam lock connection.
He was going through, yes, he did. He was going through 30 gallons of gas a day. So, anyhow, so Monday
comes. That's better than some. That's actually not bad.
Monday rolls through and we start seeing the way things are going. And so. We send out some emails to our clients telling them to unhook their equipment, you know, shut down computers properly before closing up, unplug their switches and UPSs from the wall in case there's any lightning strikes to save their equipment. And we kind of picked all our stuff off the floor and we said, hey, let's go ahead and shut things down. Let's go home and prep our houses because this thing might hang all right. And so I came home, put up my shutters, bought some food. This and that and the other thing. And Tuesday morning, I finished up my preparedness, and I went fishing, as you guys saw in my YouTube video.
Yeah, prepared except for one thing.
Day before. And so what Gordon's alluding to is during Hurricane Charlie, as I said, my dad just paid $5,000 for a vinyl privacy fence, and that was 18 years ago. So he lost his fence during Charlie. And lost some screens, but he got lucky. That was pretty much it, maybe a couple shingles here and there. And after his deductible, his insurance cut him a fat check for $125 and dropped him like a hot tamale. Kicked him down to a subsidiary. Thanks, Allstate. He had been with Allstate where every house car he had ever owned in Ohio, Texas, California, and Florida never filed a single fucking claim. Files a claim on a $5,000 vinyl privacy fence and a new screen and for his lanai and gets $125 and then dropped.
Who was the comedian a long time ago who did the Allstate kind of deal, but it was a turd in the fucking hand? Because that's pretty much how that ended up.
And so he paid out of pocket, had the fence put back up after labor and parts. It cost him about another $3,000. And then the next hurricane came, which I think was Ivan. Wasn't destructive per se, but high winds, fence blew down, lost parts of the fence, had to pay to have it put back up. Hurricane Wilma comes along, rinse and repeat. This time the fencing guy said, hey, after he reassembled Dad's fence, he said, let me show you something. Now, the way these vinyl privacy fence happen is you have a bottom parallel and a top parallel, and then you have vertical slats. The top and bottom parallel have two tabs on each side, and basically you lock it in, slide it over, lock it in. Mm-hmm. And so what they showed him is you get yourself a hefty C-clamp, and squeeze it in the right spot, you can push the tabs in, slide it over, lift it up, unclamp it, and take the whole fucking thing apart. Save himself some money in the future. So during Hurricane Irma, we took his fence down and my fence down, stacked it up, and put it in our garages, which took about 4.5 hours per fence. It's a lot of fucking work. Because even clamping that, it's not like, squeeze. No, it's squeeze up, slide up, squeeze, slide up.
Got to find a sweet spot, right?
And it, between me, Dad, Katie, and Carrie, it took us about 3.5 to 4 hours in hot fucking sun. So it's a lot of fucking work. Now, at this point, I have this vinyl fence. My neighbor to the left behind my house has the vinyl fence. And the neighbor 2 doors down has a vinyl fence. What does that mean? It means the guy in between us got a free fence. All he had to do was patch the easements, which he never did, or put on gates. And so we didn't take down the fence. Carrie has a blown out knee, as you guys know. I blew out my knee prior 2 days prior because my water heater went out again. More story.
I did notice
later.
In the video that you were gimping along with a knee brace.
Yeah, so when I bent down to try to figure out why we lost hot water 2 days before the storm after I just replaced all the coils, I heard a nice tearing sound in my knee. And so Carrie can't barely walk, and she had came down with what we thought was strep throat. So she's laid up in bed with strep throat, a blown out knee. I got pert near blown out knee, and we still weren't 100% sure where this fucking storm was going. Now, if you're a
spaghetti everywhere, right?
If you're a fan of the YouTube channel, thank you guys so much. And if you watch the video, you can see that the 2 days, the day before, I actually said that I have a feeling this thing's going to do a pull of Hurricane Charlie and hang a hard fucking right, which it did. And if you watch that video, you can see my fence. Living through five hurricanes, the scariest part about living through a hurricane is not knowing what the fuck is going on outside.
Right.
And so our lanai, or I guess covered porch, it's really not a lanai per se, but it runs the whole length of my back house. And so you have double sliders.